post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome back to the near post. I'm Russ Gibbs, and you're listening to the Canberra Local Show. And so everybody else leaves the studio. Pete Fennell comes and sits down and takes his seat. How are you this week, mate?
Russ, I'm in good form. Woden did well.
They did, and certainly did. We'll go into the men's and women's Premier League scores very shortly, and we've got an interview with a Woden superstar in the making coming up as well. But we'll start with some news, and Pete, what have you got over there?
Russ, start with one item. The Futsal Nationals representative squad trials will be conducted in September. Now, Capital Football's put a lot of good information up on their website, and the important thing here is you need to register online. And, of course, they'll be looking for players in the under 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 19 and open categories for male and female teams.
That's pretty good news. And we've got a couple of bits of news I've got here. The Central Coast Mariners are in town very shortly. They're playing two matches this week against Belconnen United on Thursday and the ACT Presents 11 on Sunday. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But there should be good encounters, shouldn't they?
Oh, this is a game worth seeing. I got a very interesting piece of information today. And it turns out that Nomis, the Australian manufacturer of football boots, very high quality football boots too, will be sponsoring the President's 11 and providing boots for them. Well,
that's
done.
That's good news. We're just going to have a quick break for 1 second. We'll be back in just a moment.
So we crossed to Simon Hill at the Canberra Grand Final between Belconnen United and Canberra FC at McKellar.
Well, here we are in the final minute with Belconnen leading by a goal to nil. What's on now, and former Lyon FC Dixon as well. He pierces through the Russell-led defence, who are like a forest of Stirling defenders, hold a firm. Fair go, Rick Hartson. Harrison, is he hurt? Penalty. Now, ref Kenny Chiefley calls a halt. Penalty kicks. Who can look? Not Cook. Another page in football history. Curtains if he misses. Skull in the pints in Belco if he scores. It's tailor-made for the number two, Cambar, or maybe young Isaac Deacon. No, it's Philip Fadden, but he hands it to Simon Bruce, the Duffy. Can he hack it? He parks the ball. More sun, shouts the crowd. The odour rises. It's Spence, very Spence. This could be Simon's ton for the season. He lines him up, shoots, but Gordonbank saves. Flynn hits the rebound, but he's gone Kinley side. What, put it wide? What a downer. O'Connor, that was riveting. Crowd goes trolley. It's all over now. And now it's back to the near post.
Thanks very much there from Simon Hill. And apologies for that little break. We were just trying to get things sorted in terms of our interviews. We were putting the wrong discs around, Pete. That was something else you had for us there for an interview with Ian Shaw or something, was it?
Yes. I put that cross in a bit far.
It certainly was. But so we'll get back to what we were talking about in terms of news. We've got the Kanga Cup kicking off as well, Pete. That should be a massive tournament. 224 teams this year?
Yes, they are. Sadly, there's some notable omissions. The Singot Primary School won't be here. I understand they have some concerns over the swine flu matter. But look, nevertheless, there are some cracking good teams. And if you'd have been around the ovals on the weekend, you'd have seen the 11s and 12s and 13s and heaven knows what else, practising their full field 11v11 skills in preparation for the Kanga Cup. Great to see.
Yeah, there's a lot of people around that's involved in the Kanga Cup. I was in the shops on the weekend wearing Tuggy's jacket, and there was people going, oh, you're coaching in the Kanga Cup? I've got a team here. And there's so many people that are involved. It's going to be a terrific tournament, isn't it?
Oh, look, wonderful. And particularly for the under 11s and 12s who will make their first appearance on a full field 11v11, because of course our modified rules see them on a shortened field and of course 9v9. So it's a big step up for them.
Yeah, it certainly is. So any more news?
Yes, the ACT under 13 boys tour of South Korea. Now, we have an interview with Ian Shaw to come up next week, but Look, I'll just say that this tour is a terrific response by Capital Football to preparation for the under-13s Nationals next year. And they'll take away a party and give them some experience. But I want to stress one thing, as it was said to me by the technical director of Capital Football, and that is that you may be in the academy, you may be on the PWSA football tour for the ACT or an academy tour to Brisbane later on, and that's fantastic. And you may be just playing for your club, but whatever you do, if you think you're a chance, go and trial. Go and trial. It would be a fantastic thing to do. They will take the best 18 players. Doesn't matter where you come from or what you've been doing.
OK, we'll just move on with the results from the weekend's games. The Men's Premier League, Queanbeyan City 1, Tuggeranong United 2, Jay Hawkins and an 88th-minute winner from Mark Shields. Mischa Nowmoski scoring for Queanbeyan. O'Connor Knights 0, Canberra Olympic 1, Danny Makor scoring the only goal of the game for Canberra Olympic. Canberra FC 2, Canberra City 1, Alex Castro after 42 minutes, and Dom Giampaolo 2 minutes from time after Henry Burgess had equalised for Canberra City, and Canberra City missed a penalty. James Ward sent off the Canberra City goalkeeper. And your team, Pete, Woden Valley 3, ANU 1, Phil Swan, Simon Hind and Steve Bowman for Woden, Zvon Rogic consolation for ANU, for whom Luke Pilkington was sent off. Looking at the table, Canberra FC leads Belconnen by 5 points, 28-23, Olympic in third on 17, ANU on 14 points in fourth. So a good result for your boys on the weekend.
Look, a great day, all through the grades we smashed them. It was sweet, I have to say. And a message. It's on the Capital Football website. It's clear enough. Respect for referees. Now, I know it's certainly at our club we've been emphasising it. We mentioned it last week on the Near Post. Look, some coaches perhaps, and certainly some players for sure, are not getting the message. If you want to argue back, the only colour you're going to see is yellow. Keep talking, and you'll see a second colour.
Absolutely, and it's important that they do respect these referees, because there is a shortage of them in the area.
Yeah, indeed, and we mentioned consistency last week, and I have to say I saw an interesting incident at a Premier League 16s game where a referee flew off to the sideline to berate a coach, and I thought did that in a most aggressive and unacceptable fashion, and I didn't think that was perhaps modelling the sort of behaviour a referee might have wanted of players, but there you go.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that throughout the season. I'm sure we'll come back to talk about that. Moving swiftly on to the Women's Premier League results on the weekend. Woden Valley stayed clear, 8 points clear at the top of the table. They won 3-1 against Western Creek. Usual scorers for Woden Valley, Gracefield, Kath Brown and Sally Rosian scoring. Alicia Tupper getting one back for Western Creek. Belwest Foxes stay in second place, having been in Canberra FC, that's the Near Post team, 2-0. Hope Wilkins and Kim Crocker for the Belwest Foxes. And Belconnen United saw off ANU 3-0. Caitlin Taylor, Kate Davern and Freya Jacobson scoring the goals for Belconnen. Woden Valley on 27 points, Belwest on 19, Belconnen on 11, and running out the four, Western Creek on 8. So we've got an interview coming up then, Pete, with Lucas Cole. Would you like to just intro for us for about 30 seconds?
Yes, indeed. Lucas Cole plays for Woden Valley. He just recently trialled in the UK with Blackburn Rovers and Notts Forest. And he's going back in August to attend further trials. Now, look, I just briefly want to say that when you boil it all down, there are probably three ways to go and trial overseas. One is to go on spec and knock on doors and good luck. I think it's a bit too tight and professional for that these days. Or be invited by an academy. We talked to Bernie Lustiger about his son Stephen and that fantastic opportunity into Milan, where all the costs are paid and so on. And the other one, of course, is get an agent, arrange trials and go there you pay. Well, that's the journey Lucas took. You need one thing. Above all else, you need a loving and supportive family, and Lucas is very lucky to have that. If passion, self-discipline, willingness to persist, excellent work ethic, talent and so on count, well, he's well placed to be a professional footballer, and good luck to him.
Well, let's hear what Lucas had to say when Pete met him this week.
We're talking to Lucas Cole. He's just come back from overseas a few weeks ago, where he's been trialling for a
place in professional football. He's been over to the UK and he's trialled with Blackburn Rovers, Notts Forest and so on. He's had a firm offer from Garforth FC and he'll be going back to the UK in August to do some further trialling, and that corresponds to the English Premier League's other league seasons. It's in their prime recruiting time. So he's paved the way. He's going back to try his hand at the other clubs, but he has a firm offer on the table. So that's a pretty big step. Luke.
Gabby.
Lucas here is by any measure a talented footballer. The measures that we use to describe talented footballers, he sits inside that envelope. At 16, he holds down the striker's position in the Waden Valley Premier League team. Just pinpoint this for you. He started trialling with the 16s and jumped into the 18s, and within the twinkling of an eye, he'd established himself last season as a striker in the pathways. Of course, it was inevitable he would end up in the Premier League this year, and that's exactly where he is now. That's between the ages of 15 and 16. By any measure, that's good. Now, Lucas, what was your first reaction when you pulled up at the gate at Blackburn Rovers?
I was just amazed. I couldn't believe my eyes with just the playing conditions and just the ovals. There was so many goals and just the fields were unbelievable. 10 times better than the AIS. And just, yeah, I loved it. Just the atmosphere was huge.
So we got nothing like it in the ACT, I take it?
Nothing at all.
What about the playing surface? What was it like?
Yeah, it was just smooth. It was so smooth. Just, this was beautiful. It was cut awesomely. The ball rolled so nice on it.
Was
it unbelievable.
Soft underfoot? We play on so many firm grounds. Were you using studs or
yeah,
or
just studs, just metal studs or just screw-ins, and your boots sunk into the grass heaps nice. It's just good to run. Couldn't roll your ankle at all because the ground was just awesome.
Oh, right. Did you have tired feet or sore feet after the training?
No, it was just like cushion the grass. It was really nice to play on.
If only we had that here, mate. Now, let's just continue with these playing conditions. They were dead level tracks?
Yeah, they were. It's hard to explain how they were.
So you hit the ball, it ran true?
Yeah, it just rolled straight to their feet, just powerful and no bobbles, no nothing.
Oh, that makes a big difference for us.
Yeah, it's easy to control as well then. Like, it makes you look like a better player as well, playing on awesome conditions.
Good point. Now, the facilities at Blackburn Rovers. So you go inside the gate, mum can't come in, no one can go in. Your manager says goodbye, you're on your own. What happens?
Yeah, I was really nervous because I was in the big food room with a big plasma TV with couches and a pool table and a lot of tables and that to eat off.
Yep.
And yeah, I was just sitting there for a while waiting for the coach to tell me to go out and go get my boots on, and we're doing a light training because I had a game that night. And yeah, and we had a light training with them and just some ball skills, two touch possession and that, see how we went, and then just a mini game.
How many of them were there?
They were probably 15 players.
They all trialists or
no? Most of them were in the team.
Ah, right.
And
so
they were a set team.
Okay, so this is important. You were trialing not just amongst a gaggle of hopefuls, you were entered into a team that was already part of their structure.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a big difference to our trials.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I know, it's completely different.
So how did you feel about that?
I was really nervous at first, just wondering what the guys would think and just see how they would react, how I played in that. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that some of them were nice, but most of them didn't want to get to know me at all. They didn't try to talk to me, didn't pass the ball to me as much. It made me comfortable.
Ah, well, I've got to figure as an overseas player, they're not going to do you any favours.
Mm.
Would that be right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. This is serious stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's really serious.
Did you feel the burden of that a bit at first?
Yeah, I got pretty cut and just, I was kind of annoyed that they didn't want anything to do with me and didn't want to pass the ball to me. So I try to make them pass the ball to me by yelling at them and talking it up and getting in the good position so the coach would see.
Good. What else did you do?
When we had the game that night, because coaches here have told me just play it straight away, one touch, two touch football, and then I get there and that's all I'm doing. Just passing the ball whenever I got it, I just laid it off and just did good passes. Didn't score a goal that game.
Was this the right way to play in this kind of trial?
Nah, I think the coach wanted to see what I got. Afterwards, he told me. He said, you should have taken them on more, didn't pass as much and had more shots and you should have scored.
Okay, can I just stop you there? You've copped a whole bunch of information telling you how it's going to go over there. You've launched out onto the paddock. I take it their coach didn't tell you how to play.
No, he just said, go and show us what you got.
You go out there to show them what you got. What, in the back of your mind, you got this advice about how you got to play it?
Yeah, from coaches that they have told me, in England, all they want to see is just one touch, two touch football, no dribbling with the ball, taking players on all the time. Just play it easy and don't lose the ball.
And I guess, in one sense, that sounds like good football advice, but this is a trial, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I should have shown them what I got and just took players on, and I'm a striker, so I guess I should have ran with the ball.
And they were expecting you to get in and rip.
Yeah.
You learned a big lesson.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
All right. So you finished your first trial with Blackburn Rovers. How did you think you went after the game? What was your feeling after it?
Yeah, I thought I did really well. My passes went to feet. I didn't lose the ball at all, pretty much. I had a couple of good shots and I set up 2 goals out of the 5. And I thought I played well.
Where did they have you on the field?
They had me as striker.
Left or right? Or?
Just top striker with another guy up front.
What structure are they playing?
Just a 4-4-2. I played well, I thought, but and after the trial, the coach said to me that I wasn't tall enough, that I'm not the player for him, because they're trying to sign an Austrian striker that was 6'2".
Wow.
Because he's been trialling with them and scored a couple of goals for them when they had a trial game. Okay. And yeah, they said I was too short.
These are big lessons to learn right from the get-go, aren't they?
Yeah.
Was he happy enough with the way you played?
Yeah, he said I have a lot of potential and a lot of energy to go further in football and get a bit higher than what this is.
Right. He's looking through his little narrow prism about what's good for Blackburn Rovers, and he says, like what I see in you, but you're not tall enough and I've got another option I might head for.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so what was your reaction to that?
Well, I was pretty disappointed with it, considering I thought I went really well and pretty cut deep for a while and just hard to talk how I felt.
Okay, but you got to get over that.
So I got over it and just thought about the next trial and concentrate on that one.
Now, Luke, what do you think that coach at Blackburn Rovers was really looking for in the player that occupies the positions you do on the field?
Oh, he was looking for a real big, strong attacker that scored a lot of goals and that was just really tall and could finish them.
In summary, that's what you reckon he was looking for?
Yes, that's exactly what I thought.
So once you'd come to that realisation, what did you do to strengthen yourself for the next trial?
I pretty much just try to not think about what happened to Blackburn, just try to play my natural game and plus took in what the coach told me to run with the ball more, have more shots and show them what I got. And so at Nottingham Forest, I ran with the ball more, had more shots and showed them what I got.
And how did that go?
That went really well. I probably should have scored, but I didn't. We won like 2-0, I think, against a team that we just had a trial match with. And I played well, had a couple of good shots like Blackburn. Yeah, set a couple up.
Now, could I just ask you, the trial at Notts Forest, the team you joined, this is a team of players that were already with them?
Yeah.
And you slotted in a game?
Yeah, that exactly like Blackburn.
Okay, so there seems to be a technique with these trials that they invite you specifically in and you play in a formed team.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Because if I come in with a lot of other players that are trialling as well, we won't know each other and won't know how we all play, and the game will just, it won't go as well. Like, you won't be able to see what you got. But if you play with a team that knows what they're doing and have been together for years, they can make you look good as well by giving you the good balls.
That brings us nicely to another point. How did they treat you on the field?
Forest were a lot better than Blackburn, probably because they're not such a high club, considering Blackburn are in the English Premier League.
Yep.
And they think they're all big and stuff, the guys in the team, because they play for Blackburn in the academy squad. But not Nottingham Forest, they were nice, most of the guys, and made me pretty welcome. They said that, sorry about the pitch conditions, it's like the worst it's ever been, but it was probably 10 times better than the AIS.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so... And we were pretty amazed with that, me and the other guy that was trialling.
So they were good grounds.
Yeah, they had really good grounds. Not as good as Blackburn's, but they were still better than here.
Can I just ask you about those conditions? You're risking everything with your trial. You're trying to put your best foot forward all the time. How much did the ground conditions make to your peace of mind?
The ground conditions were just awesome compared to here. Like, here you have to worry about the ball bobbling up and not rolling your ankle and just everything here, but over there the ball goes straight to your feet. It's easier to control, just, you know exactly where to pass it. The ball moves quicker as well because the ground's a lot smoother.
Real football, isn't it?
Yeah, it goes a lot quicker.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to another point. The end of your second trial now at Notts Forest, how did you think you went?
Yeah, I thought I did really well. I played well. I was probably played about as good as Blackburn.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit better, and I guess they just weren't looking for a striker, another player to join the team, since it was end of season, they were closing time, getting ready for pre-season next.
Right. What feedback did you get on your personal performance?
Yeah, they said I played really well. I bring a spark to the team when I came on, and I just opened up everything and made a lot of good runs, but the ball wasn't getting to me. And
could I ask you a question about both of these games? What was the game speed like? You know, I mean, anchor it against the Premier League here that you're playing in.
Yeah, the game speed over there is a lot different. Like, everyone talks on the team non-stop and they're just always moving. The coach doesn't really have to say anything from the sideline because the coach says it all at training and then they do it during the game. And there's a lot more determination kind of thing in England. Like, every player wants to play. Here you get some players that don't put in 100%. 100% in the Premier League, but over there, they don't care, they just want to play football.
The game speed is up, lots of talking on the field.
Yeah, and they just pass the ball a lot quicker, and they're already there in position, not having to run onto it.
You get tacklers coming in from your blind side, do you get warned out early?
Yeah, seeing it's always wet over there, because it's England. A lot of the players slide tackle a lot more than here, because it's always wet. Yeah. They just take you out, and you got to be quick, you got to be agile to jump up. And
there's an important playing difference straight away.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the game speed. What, both of these trials, what structure did the coaches prefer?
I think they both preferred 4-4-2, and just, they told the team to pass to me and stuff, but most of the teammates didn't really want to have anything to do with me.
Well, yeah, I guess that's the hard part of trialling, isn't it? That's the downside of this trialling system. Because there's a form team there, they can elect to not serve you the ball or serve you the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Tricky business, this trialling over there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really tricky. It's really hard, but if you want to get it and you want to get in, you got to do what's possible to get there.
How do you shine over there?
You got to try and get friendly with the guys and just get nice to them and just be cool, and you just got to talk a lot on the field and just move heaps. Every touch has to be a good touch, and if you do a bad touch, don't worry about it and don't think about it and just move on.
Demand the ball.
Exactly.
Were they playing that way?
The midfielders and defence, they were doing a lot of one-touch, two-touch and trying to get it passing three free, but when the midfield have room, they run with the ball. And in the Nottingham Forest game, I was running a lot with the ball and doing some good passes down the line and stuff and just keeping the ball a lot longer than what I did at Blackburn.
Luke, let's talk a little technical stuff. You had a real good look at how these lads played. All in your age peer group, you're technically extremely competent. What did you see in these players?
Yeah, all of them, you could tell that they deserved to be there. They just, their touch on the ball and just their turning speed and just how much they move to the ball, and every 50-50 in defence they won, getting up there, putting their body on the line and just taking it for the team.
What did you see when they were playing? Were they showing you much of what they had?
Yeah, they were showing all their turns, because there's a different turn for a different part of the game. Like if the ball comes to your left side, you can turn with the inside of your foot back to the right or outside of the foot away. And yeah, they knew all the turns and they were just doing all the turns brilliant. Just their first touch with their turns, and they could turn to the player and keep running with the ball.
So these players obviously had lots of good early technical training.
Their first touch was awesome. They gave him so much more room with their good first touch than having a bad first touch and getting tackled.
Now, look, reflect on the Premier League here in the ACT. Might seem an unfair question, but it will help, I think, parents and players understand where these respective levels of skill are at. Those two teams, Blackburn Rovers, Notts Forest, you trialled with. How did they compare the Premier League teams here in the ACT?
It's completely different over there. Like, their coaches are more determined. Their coaches demand what they want, and then they get it by the players. And if they don't, they got to do other things to repay the coach. And it's just a completely different ball game over there.
What would you say about players, general terms, about the standard of players?
Yeah, well, at Blackburn, the players were huge. Like, they were really big. You could tell they go to gym a lot. In the Blackburn campus, they had a big gym thing where they got to do gym pretty much 3-4 times a week just to get big. And especially for the defenders, they need to be big and strong on the ball when the ball's in the air and to stop the players getting past them.
We don't have much of that in the Premier League here, do we?
Yeah, I bet you not every club here has gymnasium thing where the players can go to and that.
The speed of the game, how did it compare to the speed of the game in the Premier League here?
Yeah, well, over there it's a lot quicker. It's just 1-2 touch for the midfielders and that, and then when they have space they run with it, and a lot more shots. Just, it's a lot smoother as well over there, just with their football park they get to play on, and it looks so much better than what we've got here.
Luke, has this experience changed the way you see football?
Yes, it has. It's...
How?
Just, I don't know, it's opened my eyes a lot more with just the playing surfaces and just everything over in England compared to here. Like, we've got nothing here compared to over in England. Like, England's got everything. It's just, there's football parks everywhere, even.
And what about lessons you learned about what it will take to be a professional footballer? Have you thought a bit more about that?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about it, and what coaches have told me over there to here, it's a lot different, and I think what the coaches have told me over there has made me a bit of a better player here now.
Well, I have to say, watching you play since you returned, you're playing differently.
Yeah, I'm making a lot more different runs, and they've taught me how to make some different runs and how to go to the ball and just first touch different ways and just different kind of secret kind of things.
Certainly look more composed on the field.
Yeah, I feel it.
That's the value of experience. Can I ask you, do you still want to be a professional football player?
Of course I do. That's my dream, and it'll still be my dream forever until I get there.
Then you'll make it.
I hope so.
You're listening to 2XX. Speaking to Lucas Cole, he's just returned from overseas. He's been trialling for various clubs in the EPL and in the UK, and he's been made a firm offer from Garforth and is going back in August to do some further trialling. Now, Lucas is 16 years old. And I say that again, he's 16 years old. This trialling business is a heavy weight to carry for a young lad. A lot of pressure. And I think when you hear him speak, you will understand that the environment that he's trialling in is probably what I would describe as getting pretty close to hostile. No one is going to do you a favour. And you learn this one the hard way. If you do well, it's because you've done well. The nature of the trials is such that they will put you in a form team of their own academy players, and then you will play inside that structure. And there's a reason for that, because the coach and the other assessors don't want to be looking at every player, they only want to be looking at the person trialling. That puts further pressure on a 16-year-old. And in those circumstances, it's pretty hard to establish yourself in a short period of time. And Lucas has done pretty well. Mate, does playing in the Premier League, has it helped you prepare for your trials overseas in professional football?
Yes, it has. It's helped me a lot. Just with the Premier League, it's a lot more tougher. There's a lot more bigger players, and it's a lot more physical and skillful as well. Considering in the 18s and 16s, I find that not very hard compared to pathways in first grade. First grade is a lot more harder just with the players, and just it's a lot more faster as well.
The physicality has prepared you. The game speed has prepared you. And, of course, the level of skill that's available in most teams is up a notch.
Yes, it is.
Your experience over there is invaluable. Went to these trials. How would those teams have gone in the Canberra Premier League, mate?
They would have owned it.
Well, that's very important to hear.
They would have smashed every team, most likely. That's probably why they're over in England in the academies there, because they're too good for here.
Okay, and for the parents and young players, that's really noteworthy. You may be playing well here in the Canberra Premier League, but if you have a mind to go over there, stand by. It's going to get a lot tighter and tougher.
Yeah, it doesn't get easier. It's a lot tougher over there.
We could use better fields, couldn't we?
Yeah, we could. It'd make everyone play a lot better. And if there's scouts there, they can see how good the players actually are than being on a bad field, because if you're on the bad field, you can't really show them what you got unless because of the field condition. It helps a lot having a good field.
That's a real good point, actually, because if we were to say Premier League, if Belconnen and the Deakin field are the flattest tracks we've got, probably the best maintained, you get there once a year in each one.
Yeah.
That's it. Of all your mates in football, and of course you're at Erindale College, you're in the sports program there, how many of your mates that play football have the passion to take this all the way to professional football?
Oh, probably only a couple I can think of. Yeah, not many of my mates. They say they are, but you can tell they're not committed enough just with training, and just you never see them. Yeah, you ring them up and ask if you want to go down the oval, but they're doing stuff or they don't feel like it, or they say they're sick or something like that, make an excuse.
Yeah. I want to ask you a bit more about this training, because it just seems to me that unless you're sitting inside some form development program, how does a player, 2 nights training a week at the Premier League, because they don't train too much more than that, how do you get better? What do you do?
After training on Tuesday and Thursday with the Premier League, you still got 5 other days that you can go train, and yeah, I pretty much train mostly every night. Even if I go down to my brother's training and just train there, just do some running or kick the ball or take some shots, it's still training. And yeah, I love training, and plus you can go to gym.
So you got to really be tapping away at this every day.
Yeah, you just got to think about football all the time.
And when you go over to trial, well, what would they be doing in that academy? They'd have to be training every day, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they'd be probably doing training every day, probably Monday, Wednesday, Friday training, plus Tuesday, Thursday gym, and then probably a light training Saturday and a game Sunday. Like, they'll be training every day, even light trainings during in the afternoon, and then trainings at night, sometimes twice a day they'll be training.
It's probably no surprise that not really that many people really want to have a crack at this next step, which is becoming a professional footballer.
Yeah, well, you can see in their body language and just how they treat themselves to soccer and how much they love it.
How do you get the balance between being a normal 16-year-old doing all the things a 16-year-old does, school and football?
Yeah, I pretty much just do school. Like, I'm not doing too high in school. Like, I'm only doing accredited just to get my year 12. I'm not going to university or anything. And so class isn't too hard, but it's not easy. I do my assignments and then do my homework and that, and then I'm just playing soccer.
Requires discipline, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And that's the thing I think you get, because I see it in the way you work. A lot of self-discipline, strong work ethic.
Yeah, it does, and just I get no social life. Like, I never go out on parties with my mates or anything, and they ask me to go out tonight and stuff, but I can't. I got a game the next day, or I'm training that night, and yeah, they just get, some of them get a bit annoyed with me that I train too much and don't go out with them and don't hang out with my mates and stuff and get drunk like all some of my mates do. And but I'd rather just go and play soccer and just then go out getting drunk.
Got to respect that. Luke, thanks, mate, and good luck when you go overseas.
Thank you, Peter.
And that was Pete Fennell talking to Lucas Cole. Very interesting interview indeed, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from the other side of Lucas Cole's trip abroad from his parents in a few weeks' time, I imagine.
Anita, yes, yeah, terrific opinions there.
Excellent. So we're swiftly running out of time, but we've got time for a couple more things. Just to let you know, there's no Premier League fixtures this weekend, but there is a match tomorrow night at Deakin Oval. Canberra FC are playing ANU FC at Deakin Oval tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And we were having to think about the criteria that's needed for Premier League. And I believe we've got about 2 minutes, Pete. You've come up with one that's not on the list, but you think it should be on there.
Oh, yes. Look, clearly there are so many structural anomalies within the Premier League. We ought to benchmark against one. And perhaps we can call it a Michelin star rating for barbecue canteen facilities.
Sounds good.
Yes, well, you know, let's piggyback on an existing system. I mean, immediately one thinks of the Woden Junior, by way of example, the Woden Junior Club, which has the most lavish sort of Australian standard breakfast fare. Narrabunda comes immediately to mind. Their Spanish tweak on chorizos and that it is to die for. But for sheer style, I don't think anyone can beat this season's effort by Canberra FC with a pig on a spit.
Pig on a spit sounds great.
5 hours of cooking.
We'll have to have anybody out there that, if you disagree with Pete, or if you think your club has some sort of culinary expertise and they can offer a take on the standard sausage sizzle, a bit of spicy sausage or something, bit of chicken in a bun, we'd like to hear from you. Which club has the best culinary facilities in the ACT? Pete's put one out there. Who was it, Pete?
Oh, Canberra FC.
Canberra FC.
Bags of style.
But Canberra FC with bags of style. I was quite partial to the old Kransky at Woden Valley the other week. That was pretty good.
Not bad, you know, for a small, modest effort.
In a big bun?
Yeah, well, one wonders why Belconnen United don't simply shift the catering from their licensed club over to the canteen.
It could be all sorts. Could have a roast carvery at Belconnen United.
Number
before
four.
Kickoff. That's a fantastic
thought. Anything's possible.
It certainly is. Well, thanks very much, Pete. We're swiftly running out of time. Remember that Belconnen are playing Central Coast on Thursday, and of course on Sunday it's the ACT against Central Coast as well. So remember, if you're going to the near post,
oh, far too many hamburgers, get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.